Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone.
Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate, and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Of the
methane gases. Now, when you think about the stratosphere, now, people don't know, well, I'm pretty sure some people have taught this in school, but the oceans have something to do with the sky, and the sky has something to do with the oceans. But believe it or not, the oceans replenish the sky, which is kind of weird. It's kind of like a revolving loophole. And if your oceans are polluted, there's a good chance that your air will become polluted, and pretty soon your stratosphere will become polluted, making people sick. Now, one of the things that they're scared of is that they can create just a complete atmosphere of poisonous gases. But another thing that they're scared of is that it can this thing is something more than they thought it was. For instance, a volcano that can turn into some form of earthquake, which is sitting on some type of a fault. It's not really a fault. It's sort of a crease in the earth. And this crease in the earth goes all the way up to about Ohio. I don't know if this is like one of those movies. Have you seen a science fiction movie where certain people are in the know, and some of the like a kid astronomer, you know, and the kid might get together and they might figure this. Oh, this is, the Earth is in danger, so they have to warn the government that the Earth is in danger. Well, this is the same type of it's like Deep Impact or, you know, one of these The Day After Tomorrow, one of these movies. Well, it's the same thing seeming that we are coming upon, is that this oil spill can be a lot more different than people think it is. And we have to keep our eyes on the situation. Because then we need to pray for those people down there on the Gulf Coast, because if we don't pray for them, you know, God wants us to pray for them. He commands us to pray. He even commands us to pray for Barack Obama, even though he's not for the best interests of the country right about now. Now, the beautiful thing about the globalists, the people who really run the world, is they're really good at theater. They're really good at thinking you are idiots. They're really good at performing right before you that they love this country, and we must fight for the country, for the working man, and we must fight for this, or we must fight for that, but they're not for you. Now, we need to pray for these individuals who are coming in, who have snuck in secretly into our governments to destroy the fabric of this country, which is freedom. But the most important thing that we need to fight against, and I mean fight, I don't mean fight. The only thing a Christian should be fighting against is the kingdom, is to bring the kingdom of God to the dying world. And if we don't, when we do this, we would do the right thing. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Show. are listening to the Prophecies on Blog Talk Radio.
Soon.
We are in the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
We're back, and we got to discuss right quick. We're only going to go 30 minutes today, but we're going to discuss what does it take to be rapture ready. And we're just going to go over that just a little bit. I didn't plan on having a show today, but I figured that we needed to. We're going to start having them call later for the some days. We're going to just have them at 10 o'clock at night. That way we give everybody what was going on that day. In a few weeks, we may be going to war with Iran, which would change the whole complexity of this earth. And right now, time is getting short. If I'm right, then time is getting really short. We may be approaching the end times this fall. And the thing is, we might be on the end of the end times, and these things may be triggered in the next week or so by the times of Oz, that is in the Jewish history, where the temples, both temples were destroyed. They went into captivity on this time period. Not only that, but they were given up to Adolf Hitler to be killed. They were exiled from Spain on this date. So there's the Lebanon Wars, both 1 and 2, if I'm not mistaken, started that time. So a lot of things have transpired on the day, times of all, but the most key day is a 10-day event. So it starts on the 11th of July this year. And it runs all the way up to the 20th of July, going at 19th, going into the 20th. So we are expecting something to happen by then. Also, what I'm expecting is that some of the intel says that Iran and Lebanon are waiting for the end of they're waiting for the end of the World Cup. They're waiting for the end of the World Cup before they send another flotilla. So that means that this is tying into the times of all. Now, being at the time that Israel has had their worst time in history, we have to take a look at these dates. Now, we date letters. No, not necessarily. I don't think God wanted the church to know specific times because He knows our nature. I think the book of Judges shows society today that people tend to go back into their slumber every so often. So I'll give you, for instance, every time the people in the book of Judges get a new judge and they ask God, please send us a new judge. You know what I mean? We promise we'll be okay. We'll do right. and he sends them this new judge. And then when that new judge dies off, they go back to doing what they were doing in the first place. Well, the United States is still the same. It's the same way. When 9/11 happened, every time something happens, Americans get on their patriotism banner and soapbox and put flags on their car, and we must pray for everybody. And then when they're done, we go back into complacency. And I'm pretty sure you're going to see that in the next few months. People say, well, why are you so blunt about the next few months? Because I've done the math. The generation, I've done the math. I've done all the math. It's almost impossible for this thing to keep going because I've done the math. Now, is the math for the church or was the math for the Jewish people after the church is gone? And some of these people keep coming on my chat room, and I'm going to warn you guys, I'm going to, you know, in the future, I'm going to have a lot of people in the chat room, and I'm going to end up kicking people off who are talking about anti, you know. To me, I don't mind confrontation, but to me, the Bible talks about having a state of order. And a lot of these people come into my chat room, and they viciously try to rip me apart because I believe that there's a rapture. And I'm not ripping them apart because they don't believe it. I don't know how you get that. I don't know how you get that. It's like saying, well, you can't teach about abortion because abortion is not in the Bible. The word abortion is not in the Bible, so therefore, you can't teach about abortion. Okay, so what is murder? What is offering your kid up for sacrifices? Was that wrong? You give them up for a sacrifice to Moloch? But everybody think it was right. Oh, yeah, the Bible is right. Well, you throw your kid inside of a container and burn him up. Yeah. I got a 2-year-old, 6 months, 7 months almost. Oh, but that's sweet, just to take your kid and just throw him in the oven. Is it really? Because that's what the Bible's calling it, murder. Oh, what if I, now, people can say, oh, well, what about porn? Porn is not in the Bible. Yeah, well, the rapture is not in the Bible, you know, but the idea, you know, of the catching away, the gathering to Christ is there. Well, pornography is not, so I can go ahead and just get on the computer tonight and, when my wife is asleep, and get on pornography. Well, you go ahead and get it. It's not in the Bible. The word pornography is not in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible. So I guess you could go do it on the word. Bible is not in the Bible either. But there's no rapture because the word is not in the Bible. And these people have the poorest illustration of why there is no rapture. Because they escape. Oh, you guys want to escape. Yes. Read Luke 21, verse 34 to 36. Yeah, even Jesus said, if Kyle beat, pray that you count it worthy to escape. Well, you read your Bible? I don't understand this. I don't understand people. And they're vicious about it. I mean, you're vicious about Jesus coming back to take his church out. You're vicious about it. Now, what Jesus said? What if I go ahead and turn it around, flip the script on you and say, didn't Jesus say if you take something out of the book or put something in it, one of us is in trouble? You will receive the plagues. So is the rapture in the Bible? I mean, in the Revelation, excuse me. Is it in the book of Revelation? The word rapture is not there, but the idea is there. You say, what are you talking about? The word church is mentioned 19 times. You would have to put the word church back into the chapter 6 through 19. You would have to put the word, you would have to insert it back in there. So one of us, and this is what I want to talk about. Not necessarily mean rapture ready because I'm going to have a guest on Sunday to talk about that. But I want to ask you a question. Could it be that the people who believe that there is a rapture, whoever's wrong, will receive the tribulation period. So if somebody's going around, now is that a first issue or is it a secondary issue? And to me, it is part of the resurrection. So if you take the death, burial, and resurrection, and mess with it, and the virgin birth, you take the virgin birth, death, burial, and resurrection, and mess with it, that is messing with some of the, it is not to me, in my view, according to, when I read the Bible, it is messing with one of those four pillars. The virgin birth, death, burial, and resurrection. So if you say to somebody the resurrection has not come, it will not come until after the tribulation period. Now people will probably say, well, you need to be, now if somebody had, to me, if somebody has, this is what I read in the Bible, if somebody has middle, and I'm fine with that. And God is probably fine with that too. But when you start to add, something, you start to take it away and say it just it does not exist, then you put God in the position of lying. So we have to look at that as well. But we're going to take another break and we'll be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Savage habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at AnAmericanWarning.com. That's AnAmericanWarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to wind this thing down. What we see coming in the next few weeks is not good for the United States. It's not good for the world. So we need to pray. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're right with God. A lot of people are thinking that they're all fine with God, but there is a method to the madness. When you first want to hear about God, you draw curiosity. And then there are people who, when they hear about God, they draw curiosity, and then later on they become convinced. And then there are people who draw curiosity, they are convinced, but then they become committed. Now, who is he coming for? the curious, the convinced, or the committed. I believe when it's all said and done, the committed will be raptured out. You say, what do you mean by the committed? Those who have fully given their lives to Jesus Christ, and there is a newness of life. There's evidence of a newness of life. There's also evidence of a relationship with Christ, the evidence of a commitment to Christ. For instance, if you're looking at a true Christian, you're going to obviously hear about it sooner or later from that individual. They're not going to hide it from you. They're not going to bury it. They're not going to say, I don't really talk about Jesus as much because I don't think people want it. They're not going to say anything like that. They're going to try to give you the gospel. If you talk to them on the phone, if you just started talking to them, or you just found them on Facebook or something like that, you're going to know that they're saved. I can look at Facebook, and I can tell if somebody said, give me at least a good, if I just found somebody and I just say, you want to be friends yet, give me a good 3 months. You say, why do you take so long? Because you never can tell in a week. Most of the time I can't. If it's something vulgar and foul, yeah. But I can tell what you're interested about on your Facebook, as long as you get on there often enough. As far as calling you and talking to you on the phone, I can tell if you're saved. I mean, if I'm not saved, because a lot of times unsaved people can tell quicker than saved people. They can tell quicker than saved people if somebody's saved or if they've been a hypocrite. So sometimes, a lot of times, Christians, when you go to church with another Christian or a group of Christians, if somebody's backslidden, an unsaved person will be able to tell that person's backslidden rather than a person at the church, because you can always fool people at church. Church is double. Even Jesus said that sometimes the unrighteous is smarter than the righteous. A lot of times they are. But in order to be ready for Jesus Christ's return, you have to have Jesus Christ first in your life. Not 10th, not 15th, not 2nd, or 3rd. Now, he would prefer to at least be 2nd, moving up to 1st, rather than 2nd, sliding back to 5th. Because salvation is kind of like riding a stick shift. You go into 1st, and then 2nd, and 3rd, and 4th, 5th. That's because we're humans. But God is looking he's seeking someone who will worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit will act on that truth. So the Bible says that we need to be eating that word of God on a daily basis. So that he says, well, we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So if we think about food, America is one of the most obese countries. So when we think about food, we have no problem there. So if we look, and I'm looking at myself too, if we look at salvation the way we look at food, this would be a blessed nation, and the world will probably go into the year 3000. If we read God's book like we eat, it'll be a blessing. But a lot of us are Ethiopians. Excuse me for saying that. I apologize for saying it like that, but a lot of us are starving, famine-stricken people when it comes to God's Word. We are starving for God's Word because we're relying on a preacher to preach to us the message of Jesus Christ. That's not going to work. We can't do that. We need Jesus to translate it through His Spirit. That's why it says we must worship God through Spirit and in truth. To be rapture ready means that our conduct and a lot of things that the world is doing, we have to separate ourselves from that. We can't watch the same show. Now, I'm not saying that is it a works thing? If you want to, you can sit in front of the TV, HBO at night, at 2 o'clock in the morning, watching some naked woman walk across. That's exactly what they have on HBO. Do you put yourself in positions? Do you go to the mall at the road? If you're a male and you have problems looking at women, do you go to the mall on Friday nights knowing that there are going to be a lot of girls walking there through the mall half naked? If you're a woman, do you put yourself in a position with a credit card to go out and spend money? Or if you're an alcoholic, because the word alcoholic means anyone who patterns their drinks. So I used to be an alcoholic. So if you're an alcoholic, you buy beer saying, okay, I'm just going to drink it moderately in the refrigerator. You don't buy any beer. You just don't put the bring it in your house at all. Just don't bring the stuff in your house. If your husband and wife, you claim to be born again, and your husband and wife, and your husband and wife, and y'all got a chest full of alcohol for your visitors, y'all need to rethink your salvation. Y'all need to get rid of all that liquor. Give it to a friend or something. Have a party. Go in the backyard. Crush your stuff against the bricks. Because if you don't, if you keep playing with fire, you're going to get fired. We reap what we sow. What a man sows, so shall he reap. If we reap into this world system, or we want to be in this world system, we're going to... God, hold on for a second. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Actually, we decided to not. I'm kind of having a ghetto style radio program. I'm doing this on my cell phone. I'm not doing it in my studio. It probably sounds like it to some people. But I'm trying to give y'all a message of salvation. I really am. I'm trying to let y'all know that being rapture ready, we need to identify ourselves with the real Jesus, not a phony Jesus. It says in Galatians chapter 1. That if anybody teach any other gospel than this, let them be accursed. Now, people have Jesus as being some nice person, you know. They got this "what would do Jesus do" stickers, signs. But I think we need to really get acquainted with the Jesus who talked more about hell than he did heaven. Because he don't want anybody to go there. And see, the mind can't fathom, we can't fathom a loving God sending someone to hell. But he does, because he's a just God. And we can't fathom eternal separation from God. I think if a Christian really get an idea of hell, we would probably be out witnessing to everybody on the street. But we don't have a good view of hell. I think we just think that it'll never come. And I think people live that way on life anyway. We think that death would never approach. Death would never come because we don't really think. We do make provisions, though. A lot of people don't give us the props for that. We do make provisions. We do make, you know, we have insurance. We have a bureau. Some older people go out and get a nice plot. A couple get a nice plot together. And I'm not saying that we don't, but I think a lot of young people today really don't plan to die. And can you blame them? But I think a lot of people, like a lot of Christians who supposedly duty is, and they think the preacher's duty, they think the evangelist's duty, they think the prophet's duty is to go out and preach the gospel. No, it is our duty to preach the gospel. What you do for Christ will last. What you do for this world will not last. What you think is important in this world is not important to God in God's eyes. The riches of this world is not important in God's eyes. You can be poor and make heaven and be rich for eternity. Got these Mr. Big Shot preachers going around here preaching the phony gospel, trying to get everybody rich. Tell them they can be better than them. That's not the gospel. We need to be careful about the gospel. We need to be careful that we do not get caught up with this Oprah Winfrey crap about being a better you. If you are saved and born again, God is going to make a better, you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're going to be transformed. King David, Solomon, all those guys at their peak, trying to get in their lives the lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, the money, the pride of life, the party. They were most upset. They were most depressed. They were most miserable when they tried to get out and get the world good. Even Moses said, you know what, I'd rather be with the poor. And now I'm not telling anybody out there to be poor. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, get your priorities straight. I had an uncle when I was in Colorado, and I called my uncle and I said, I want to start a business. What kind of advice do you got? You know what he said to me? He said, Bug, that's my nickname, Bug. He said, Bug, you know what? What you want is a peace of mind. I got so upset at this guy. I got upset with my uncle. But today, I know what he's talking about. What you want is a peace of mind. If you can get all your bills paid, get your house in order, I'm talking to myself. Get your electricity bills paid. Get all your bills current. Get out of debt. You know, and life will be a lot much better, even in your marriage. Because if we follow God's practical commandments, if we practice what he says, we'd be a lot more better off than we will if we don't practice what he said. Be the head and not the tail, as far as finances are concerned. Our life would be a much better life if we just do what he says. But if we don't do what God says, we're going to be miserable. He says that alcohol is a mocker. Because once you start drinking, you're not going to want to stop drinking. Now, I changed the subject a little bit. I understand that there ain't not that many people, because I didn't do anything this weekend. I mean, and we're about to get hot on these shows, so I was kind of like taking a break, but there is no more breaks. I'm going to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning recording shows because there is no more breaks. We're about to go into the most important time in history. And a lot of people are going to be still asleep. A lot of people are not going to know that we are heading into the end times. And I believe right now, in about a week, less than a week, we're going to see some things start to pop off. But before July 19th, we're going to see some things happening. So you're going to be able to call my bluff or whatever. But between now and October, you're going to see a whole lot of things go off. Between now and the rest of the year, you're going to see it's going to be a whole different type. Christmas, might as well go ahead and have Christmas in July. Because Christmas is going to be a lot different this year. A lot different. I see Americans, we are so used to shopping and getting gifts and getting and giving, and that's a good thing, giving, but Christmas will not be what it's going to be a lot different Christmas this year. Jesus will be intervening back in history very soon. Very soon. Millions of people will die before the end of this year. Possibly. That's something we need to seriously consider praying for, folks. Jesus may be coming back very, very soon. And are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? We'll be back.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, in the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end-time prophecy in line with the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. So the things that can happen this next couple of days. Now, the Bilderbergers, which is an organization that really runs the world, has given the authorization to attack Iran. And we're pretty sure it's coming pretty soon. Now, this may trigger World War III. This may trigger a great war in the Middle East, which will end up being a major confrontation. Boom. Now, do you want to be here in the tribulation period? Do you want to be here when there are food shortages? And well, let's back up. First of all, you got kids out there. They're not going to have any more kids. You got grandkids. They're under the age of accountability. Guess what? They're gone. So, well, I don't believe in the rapture. Well, you may want to start, because you're going to get the shock of your life, and there's going to be a lot of crazy folks out there when their babies comes up missing. When your baby vanishes into thin air, and your kids vanish into thin air. Now, if you don't like your kids, that's fine. You're going to have a break. But are you going to really want that break? I don't think you're going to want that break. Talking about inflation. You're talking about utility bills going up probably about three times what you're paying now. I'm just crazy. Gas prices soaring high. It's going to be so high that people are going to have to move in together just to support themselves. And imagine every child vanishing off the face of the earth. Imagine every kid. Imagine, I heard this one ministry on Blog Talk Radio say that only 1 million people are going to be raptured. Only 1 million people are going to be raptured. Are you kidding me? So that means out of 7 billion people, 1 million people are going to be raptured. He says 1 million people are going to be raptured. 1 million. So I guess you could say the gates of hell prevailed against this theory. I believe in my heart that it is probably at least 1 billion people. And I can almost believe in my heart that it is a set number. I'll say it again. I can almost believe it is a set number. So when Jesus comes back and gets his church, it will probably be either 800 billion, 700 billion, or 1 billion people. It could even be 1.5 billion, 1.5 billion people. But it is not just 1 million. You can't even tell if 1 million people are vanished. Some people, what they do is they come up with these theories and they come up with these thoughts. They come up with these, and they don't think it through. Why would I say 1 million people? You can't tell if 1 million people vanish from 7 billion people. You just can't. It'd be like useless, because 1 million people are kidnapped every year just to find a couple in the whole world, maybe. So another 2 million people leaving the earth is not going to be, not going to make a difference. It's not going to make one bit of difference, man. It's not going to make any difference. So in order to be a part of this number that is coming up, we have to live a righteous and holy life. And the only way we can live a righteous and holy life is through the power of God. Who the Son says free is free indeed. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. God strengthens us to live a righteous life, to live for Him. God strengthens us to do His work. God strengthens us to live for Him. Jesus strengthens us. So without Jesus' strength, we cannot do anything. So if you're trying to stop doing this or you're trying to stop doing that, just stop it. Go to Jesus. Ask Him for the power to stop these things. And if you still do it, just keep asking Him for, you know, separate this. Give me a new mind. Give me a new heart to want to stop doing these things. So that's the problem. I mean, that's one of the reasons why you can't stop it, because your heart does not want to stop. Your flesh, your skin, your sinful nature does not want to stop. So you need God to help you stop. That's why the Bible talks about in 1 Timothy 2:3, it talks about having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. See, a lot of us have a form of being Christians, but we deny the power thereof to break these habits, to break these sins on our lives, because they have control over us, folks. If you don't give it to Jesus and let Jesus deal with it and take it away from you, you're not going to make it. But see, our life has to have a heart change. We have to start hating our sin. We have to start hating the things that the world call valuable. Now, if you go out and get a job, you're an engineer, that's fine. I'm not saying that. If you want to go be a doctor, that's fine. But you need to put God in there. You need to put God on the top. He needs to be the perspective of your life. That's what I said when I said started talking about earlier. There are three things that people go through and trying to, you know, as far as living in this world, as far as Jesus is concerned, they're either curious, convinced, or committed. Now, you could be convinced that Jesus is the Lord, but is he your Lord? He's only your Lord when you move into committed. Because if you look at the world system and you look at the world the way the world is, and if you go to a job and you're just convinced that you're working there, you're probably going to get fired. Or they're probably going to just write you off. If you're on a football team and you're just convinced, okay, I'm convinced, oh, I'm fine, I'm a football player now, you're probably going to do poorly unless you're committed. So in the living for Christ, you can't just go to church on Sundays, put on these nice clothes, go to church on Sunday, and then go home and live like a devil. You can't just go to church on Sunday and hear the preacher and come and starve for the rest of the week. He says, you cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you're not picking up your Bible. The Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's also distorted knowledge, folks. It is distorted knowledge. It is, anybody can move in with a false gospel, creeping in, seducing silly women, getting them to think that they can need to send some money in to the church, or thinking they can get away with going out and having four different guys call the house. You can't live a righteous life that way. And what really irritates me is some of the people change the subject. Some of the people who are morally okay think that everybody else that is a pimp, a prostitute, a drunkard is going to hell faster than they are. No. If you sit in a church on Sunday, you're responsible for what you're holding, what God is giving you. You're responsible for that. So if you're saying to yourself, well, dude, I'm not that bad. I'm not so bad. I mean, I don't go to clubs and stuff. You can be an old lady sitting in a rocking chair and blow hell wide open. You could be an old lady at the home, Medicare. You could be a lady at the home just not bothering anybody. That's sad, folks. You do not have to go to, you don't have to be drinking 40 ounces every night and calling these girls and sleeping on everybody to go to hell. Of course they're going to go to hell, but I'm saying you could just be a normal lady going back and forth to work every day, raising your kids, not hurting nobody, even giving money to certain causes, and still go to hell, folks. Quit thinking all the people who do bad things are going to go to hell. People who don't have Jesus are going to go to hell. And all these people, like I talked to so many people, everybody has these opinions about God. Read the Bible. Stop coming to me saying what God said. Read the Bible for yourself. Ask God to give you knowledge. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, to pray that God will give you wisdom and revelation of the will of God, of the knowledge of God. You want to know him. That should be how everybody's endeavor to seek his face. And that's who he's coming back for, someone who's worshiped him in the spirit and in truth, not somebody who's just lackadaisically trying to serve him. That's not going to work, folks. And when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter what you believe. It's what the Bible says. God is a treasure. It's like trying to find a treasure. It's like trying to go seek a degree out of college, or trying to become a part of a football team, or trying to run for Senate. You have to have that heart and commitment to Christ, folks. You have to be committed to Christ before you're going to hear that trumpet sound. You're not going to hear it if you are less basically thinking you can religiously get to heaven. You can't. And everybody thinks they can. You can't go to heaven just by being religious. Stop thinking you can be religious and go to heaven. You can't. You can't go to church on Sundays and be, you just can't. You just can't go to church on Sunday and thinking you're going to be okay for the rest of the week. God has to be the Lord and Savior. He has to be Lord and Savior. If he's not Lord and Savior, if he's just Savior, you might have a problem there. So why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say do? Folks, we are heading for some pivotal times. We are headed for times that no one can imagine in these next couple of days, next couple of weeks, next couple of months, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. We are headed for some perilous times. And if you can't get it right now, it's going to be hard to figure it out in the last couple of minutes. So if you listen to this radio program on September 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and I'm trying to tell you, and you're not going to, first of all, believe me anyway, because I said, no man knows the day and hour. You're not going to believe me that you're right. No man knows the day and hour. But he was talking about an idiom of a certain time period known as Rosh Hashanah that was coming pretty soon. And if we don't pay attention to the times that we're living in right now, we're going to pass the, we're going to wait till the last minute. We're not going to understand the true gospel. See, what we're going to have is we're going to have error. We're going to have a gospel thinking you can just get on your knees and say, forgive me, God, and get up and go live like you want to live, instead of what God wants you to live like. And then the trump is going to come and it's going to say, well, I thought I was ready. Well, you wasn't ready because Christ was not first. Now, I'm not talking about you have to live, you're going to be living a perfect life because we make mistakes. But where's your heart? God is coming for somebody who worships them in spirit, him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth, that means that the spirit is guiding you to truth and the truth is guiding you to the spirit. And that means that the spirit of God is going to bring to fruition what you're supposed to be doing in Christ, that is living for Christ daily, having Christ as your first and foremost in your life, and asking God for direction. So there was a time, a lot of times, where I wouldn't ask God for major decisions in my life. So we kind of get away from that kind of stuff, where we need to ask God for direction. We need to ask God for direction. We need to ask God for his direction. We have to get his direction. If we do not get his direction, we're going to be hurting, folks. We have to have Jesus' direction in our lives. We have to have his, he has to be chief, commander and chief of our lives. He has to be commander and chief of our lives. Because if he's not commander-in-chief of our lives, then he is not Lord of our lives. And that goes for me as well. So therefore, if Christ is number one in your life will probably be a lot better. But it's still going to have its trials and tribulations. It's still going to have hard times. See, that's the big-time deception that a lot of people don't understand. Is that you, when you become born again, that doesn't mean you're going to be having it easy. That's not what God is talking about. That's not what the Bible is talking about. You're still going to have trials. You're still going to have tribulation. Matter of fact, you're probably still going to have problems. And people do not understand that. They think that, well, I'm born again, you know, so now I can go ahead and live life and do things that everybody else is doing, you know, and talk like everybody else is doing, put up on Facebook comments that everybody else is putting up, and, you know, just live like you, just live like, you know, you really don't care. You're going to have those problems, for real. You got to care. You got to put God as foremost, folks. I keep repeating myself, but I can't figure out any other way to tell y'all, but you have to be committed to Christ in order to be right with Christ. It's kind of like sticking to a boxing coach. Have you ever seen one of those boxers that once they got the wrong coach, they started losing? Like Muhammad Ali, you know, he stick to the right coach, he wins. Kind of like watching Rocky. You know, you need to have that individual person that you stick to. Well, when you look at God, you see someone who is supposed to be the shepherd. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." Well, the Lord is your shepherd. He's guiding you. See, when Jesus says to you, he's going to say, "Your name, Perry, come forth." And you're going to come forth. And you're going to hear that shout. And the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead will rise first, and then we are alive and remain will come. And he's going to hug us, say, "Welcome to heaven." We're going to be the happiest, peaceful people. And we're going to be like, "Wow, this is great. This is good. I'm happy to be here." But see, people don't understand that you have to be committed to Christ before you hear that trumpet sound. And this is one of them shows that, you know, I just kind of like just came downstairs and said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do the show because we're going to start having a lot more shows and there's going to be a lot of people in the chat rooms and stuff. And right now people don't even know I'm here doing the show because I haven't been doing them on Thursdays lately. And in a few weeks, you guys, God is putting in my heart that the numbers are going to go just through the roof. And I'm going to have to talk to people on Facebook and on Twitter and all these other other organizations that Christ is coming back soon. And here's the deal, folks. I'm going to try to explain this to y'all. The 10 virgins, 5 had oil, 5 didn't. Now, remember what happened. They were all asleep. They were all slumbering, right? And then they say, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Now, the ones that did not have oil asked the ones who did have oil to give us some of your oil. No, then they say, "Go back, go and sell. Go to find the person who sells. Excuse me. Go to find a person who sells this, and he'll give you some oil. But we're about to go." So what happened was they took off, and they went and looked. Now let me break that down to y'all. Let's say, for instance, if I'm correct on the next 2 months, okay, some of y'all might not think I'm correct, but just stick around. And you listen to my radio show now, you may be able to figure it out, the importance of commitment to Christ rather than curiosity or being convinced, because anybody can be convinced. Even the devil is convinced and they tremble. But are you committed to Christ? So, if it's September, like I think it is, early September, Rosh Hashanah is a 2-day event. No man knows the day and hour. That's what Jesus is trying to say. No man knows the day. Which is true. No man knows the day and hour. because today, right now, in Spokane, Washington, it's the 8th of July, 2010, but in Israel, it's the 9th. It's 11 o'clock, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast, and it's 11 o'clock on the East Coast. My cat. He's meowing, and he does that all the time when I'm doing a show. He likes, I guess he's my co-host. But anyway, it's 11 o'clock off the Eastern Standard Time, so it's a different time slot. So no one knows the day and hour. Which hour to me is different hour to you. Sometimes what's a day to you is different for me. So the rapture comes at 9 p.m. in the nighttime. Here, it's going to be 12 o'clock where y'all at in the East. And it's a different day, so no man knows the day and hour. But here's the deal. Jesus is talking about an idiom. He's talking about an illustration. See, in the Jewish heritage, a father, which Abraham, let's use Abraham, would send Eliezer out to get a wife for his son. And once they find a wife, Rebecca, Isaac will go back to the house and prepare a place for her. And at an appointed time, Isaac would go back and get Rebecca. And that's what happened. So the only person that knew when he's going to go back and get her is Abraham. Now, it falls, this particular idiom falls on the Feast of Trumpets and Rosh Hashanah, which is a two-day event. So that really makes it difficult to know what day and hour because it's a two-day event. But the Bible says at the last trump, so we put it at the second day. So this year is September 9th and 10th. You say, you think you figured out what day and hour? No, I didn't say that. And what really defeats the, what makes it truly bad is that people don't want Christ to come back, so they say, well, you're trying to fix the day. And I know I'm not. I'm just saying. I'm paying attention to what the Bible says. If you do it, maybe you'll be okay. But there are appointed times, my friends. There are appointed times. For instance, in Leviticus 23, it talks about the seven feasts of the Lord. It talks about unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, and Passover. Those four events happen at Jesus Christ's first coming, where there's three more to go. Because 4 minus 7 is 3. There's three more to go. So it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacle. Now Jesus will come back for his church on Rosh Hashanah. And this will happen at a time that you think not. It'll happen at a time where people are watching events like the World Cup and trying to figure out what Lindsay Lohan is going to do with her life and trying to find out Linus Loop and all this other stuff, you know, murdered this girl in Peru, you know, trying to find out all these things. And it happened at a time that we think not. And, folks, it's going to happen pretty soon. And you're going to be able to figure it out. You say, well, that man that was on the prophecy zone told us that these things were going to happen. These things were going to transpire. These things will come to fruition. And they're going to start in about a week or so, a couple of days from here. Maybe 2 weeks, but they're going to start. I don't know the plan, exact plan, but I know between the 11th, of July and the 19th of July, something's bound to happen, folks. There's signs in the sky. If you read Luke 21, he says there should be signs in the stars, sun, moon, and the stars. If you read Colossians, he says, do not let anybody make you ashamed of your new moons, talking to the Messianic Jews. There's a time coming, folks. There's a time coming when people are not going to figure this thing out. There's a time coming where people are not going to figure this thing out until the last minute. And you're not going to be able to go by oil because you're not going to figure out the common salvation. You're not going to figure out the simplicity of Christ because you've already been deluded in these churches. They've already told you to earn, be the best you can be and all this other stuff and be the best, like, be the best you can be. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to know God wants you to live a holy life, and he wants you to get that gospel out. That's what he wants. God wants you to live a holy life, folks. He wants you to live a life given over to him. God is a jealous God. He is a jealous God. He is a God that wants you to pay attention to him. It says in the Psalms that they get up every day and they forget me. So you can go by the numbers and you can pray and all this other stuff, and that's not going to get anything. You might say, well, Mr. Evangelist or Mr. Phil, well, how do I win then? Because you put God first. You live your life for God. Be willing to leave this world. Be willing to give up. Be willing to die every day to yourself. Be willing to pick up your cross daily. Be willing to say, okay, I'll put God before everything. Be willing to let God change your life. Be willing to let God have you. You know, because he made you anyway. He owned you anyway. He owns everything. He owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, however that goes, God owns everything. You don't own anything. If you really think about it, your house, all this other stuff that you're living in, God owns that stuff. God owns everything. God owns everything. So, before we look at this thing and we say, God does not own anything. God, I made this. I go to work. I work hard for this stuff. I do this and I do that. You may want to reconsider what you think. Because if you reconsider, God can do something for you. But if you do not reconsider, God can't do nothing for you, folks. If you reconsider, God can take you and make you out of the person, man or woman, that he wants you to be. But if you're willing to stay the way you are, he can't do anything for you, folks. Because there's times that are coming pretty soon that will make you have a heart attack. There are things that are coming pretty soon that's going to make the average person very, very shaky. A lot of people are going to be seeing psychologists pretty soon. So psychology would be a good field for people to be in, not Christians. But if you're a psychologist, blessed art thou, because thou is going to get a lot of money coming in. So we have to be willing to lose our life for his purposes. He says, if you're not willing to lose your life for my sake, you're not worthy of the kingdom. So what type of person who sets out to go and defeat an army checks back behind them and says, you know, this army is pretty big, so I'm just going to go ahead and take a break and let the army kill us off. No, you count us. Evaluate how many men you got versus how many men your enemy has. Or what type of person who goes out to build a building but don't count the cost of the building project. I mean, is that really good? I Yahweh to set out and supposedly follow Christ, but we don't have an objective. We don't have a willingness to say, okay, God, I'm going to put you first and foremost. I'm going to love you with all my heart, mind, and soul. And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself, which the second one's pretty darn hard. Without the power of God, you're not going to be able to do that second one. Now, from now on, most of my shows will be taped and done at nighttime, and they're going to be live shows throughout the week. But I'm going to do some shows that are at night that will be taped, but we'll be going over the news before it even wakes up, before the sun even comes up. And then we have a show called The Midnight Zone, which is part of the Prophecy Zone, which we're greatly going to expand very quickly. I'm going to start doing that pretty soon. So I want you guys to be ready for a lot of things that are going to transpire, and we're going to be having shows to let y'all know what's going on. This oil spill, a lot worse than people think. Look for an evacuation pretty soon. I'm not going to give you the exact time, but as far as hurricanes and things like that, we don't know. But as far as volcanoes and earthquakes, we know the Bible said that there should be earthquakes in diverse places. I've always thought that an earthquake would be tantamount on America's legacy. I always thought that something like a natural disaster of some kind would keep us out of the negotiating peace talks, that the Antichrist will finally sign. I always ask myself, why is the United States there? But economically, we have collapsed. Morally, we probably have to collapse. But there will probably be neutron bombs going off in major cities and nuclear bombs going off in cities and different countries shooting them over here and say, well, you really have a bad look on every loud look on. Well, I think America will survive, but I just think we will be a second-rate nation. We won't be the same nation in the next couple of weeks, months. So we need to pray for them. Instead of saying, well, why are you so much of gloom and gloom? Or why are you mad at me? Because I'm like Joel Osteen. Be the best that you can be. No, I'm warning you, just like the prophets did in the Old Testament. I'm telling you now. Get yourself saddled. Get on the saddle and get going. If you're a Christian, make sure you're saved. The Bible says to examine yourself and make sure you're in the faith. If a man thinks he stands, let him check himself just in case he falls. Falling is out of the simplicity of Christ. That's my thinking of falling. Falling is not where you go and do something stupid and you get up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when the simplicity of Christ becomes invaded by leaven. That leaven's the whole lump. When the simplicity of Christ is used, it's brought in, at least little errors come in, like you can be Christ or lead by your words or you can do this or you can do that and still be saved. You can drink all the time and you can do this or you can't do all that stuff, folks. I mean, take it from me. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to toy with the idea of drinking. It's dangerous. Would you go to work drunk? I know a lot of people do. Some people have lost a few fingers, too. Would you go to work drunk? Would you be a football player drunk? Now, I'm pretty sure some of those guys smoke weed. Pretty soon, the NFL is going to catch you. Are you really willing to do that? Are you willing to give up your life for Christ? There are people in the tribulation period who will not die for Christ. They are not willing, they will not be willing to give up their lives for Christ. There are going to be people who are not willing to give up their lives for Christ. They're going to be people who are not willing to do anything for Christ. That's why he gave parables of people who would just sit on their butt and not do anything for Christ, but go to church and might, you know, discuss God in a religious way, but they don't work. Faith without works is dead, folks. You talking about going to church and being in the choir? Yeah, I'm talking about all this stuff. Faith without works is dead. Without works is dead. So if you have the faith and you do things for Christ, that's fine. You're not saved by works. That's not what I'm saying. But faith without works is dead. If you love somebody, truly, that love is going to show. And that's what God is saying. That's what he's saying. If you love somebody, that love is going to show. And a lot of people don't believe that. That love comes out. Love is not something that stays inside of you. Love, if you love, if a young man loves a girl, he's going to come over, he's going to meet the family, meet the dad. You know, he's going to show that he really likes his daughter. But it's coming from the heart, folks. If a guy meets another girl, that same guy meets another girl, he really don't like her that much, he's going to show who he likes by his action. You're only going to like what your heart. There's a lot of people's hearts, they're going to fool them. They're not going to go there unless it's just for sex. They're not going to go over to a girl's house and spend all the time with their family if you don't at least someone like her. Faith is evidence. Evidence comes out of faith. So if you like something, you're going to show it. If you like a certain car, a certain football team, a certain TV show, it's going to show. You're going to watch that TV show. It's going to come out of your heart. You're going to want to do those things. So let's get back to Jesus. If you love Jesus, it's going to show. It's going to come out of your heart. You're not going to have a lackadaisical attitude towards Christ. That's why I say my people perish for lack of knowledge. They're also distorted knowledge, folks. That distorted knowledge is that we are lackadaisical towards the things of God. That's why the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Set your affections. That means set your love, set your heart on these things. My sister was reading the New American Version. She was saying, the NIV, it was saying, set your heart on things above. Set your affections, set your heart, set your mind on things above. Now, I mean, I like football. Right after this game, I'm going to try to figure out what team. I like basketball. I'm going to try to figure out what team LeBron went to. But that's my focus? No. Because I can probably forget about basketball. I only watched like a couple of games this whole year. I watched like 3 games. I want to know who won the championship and stuff. I watched the last game of the championship, but I don't watch the other championship games. My point is I like basketball, but I don't. It's not my God. It's moderation, folks. Do you like going fishing more than you like God, being with people of God and doing the things of God? You say, why do you use fishing for? I like fishing. No, the reason why I use fishing is because we think that we can, you know, we imagine, you know, us living a life of stalemate or boredom. If you live in a life of boredom, that's not what Christianity is about. You can go to Silverwood, Six Flags, and have a good time. Disney World, God didn't say you can't. You can take a vacation. You can take a trip somewhere to the Bermuda. God didn't say you can't do all those things, folks. But prioritize Jesus. The Bible says if you don't love me more than you love a mother, sister, father, brother, cousin, for my sake, you're not worthy of me. He didn't say cousin, but I'm just letting it. Girlfriend, boyfriend, if you don't love, I mean, if you don't hate them for my sake, you're not worthy of. So what it's saying is prioritize. It's not telling you to hate them because the Bible teaches against hate. It says if you hate somebody, you commit a murder in your heart. So it's teaching against that, but it's saying prioritize. If you don't hate your mother, father, sister, brother, for my sake, you're not worthy of me. So he's saying prioritize. He says, okay, did they come a close second to me, or did they come a far second? He also told his disciples, if you're not willing to eat of my blood and drink of my flesh, or eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you're not worthy of me. Is he literally telling them to become accountable? No. But he's saying prioritize. Are you willing to do just about anything to be my disciple? Are you willing to lose your life for my sake? Because in the Bible it says that these people will not die unto death. They will not die unto death. They will not serve God unto death in the tribulation period. I mean, there's going to be certain people who their life is too valuable to give it up for Jesus. But what they fail to realize is that that little bit of time that they're not giving their life up, they don't have that much time left. They're not understanding that. There is going to be a ultra cataclysmic event that happened with the sun and the ozone layer. And the Bible says that the sun moves closer to the earth and scorches man. And they still won't repent. What's going on with that, folks? For real, though. I mean, what's up? You won't repent? Why can't you repent? You're kidding me, right? So you got an angel flying through the sky, preaching the gospel, 144,000 Jews, and two witnesses blowing smoke and fire out of their mouths, and you still can't repent. Folks, I don't care how worldly you are, how crazy you might think I am. It's coming a time pretty darn quick where you're going to see what I was saying was correct. And this is going to be probably one of the only times I'm going to ram it down your throat. But there's going to be other times where the Holy Spirit will say, you know what, y'all need to listen to this guy. Because I probably talked to a few people. I don't even care about YouTube videos right now. My videos are probably going to explode pretty soon because I'm actually making great videos that have to do with the end times. I'm going to start doing that pretty soon, too. But we don't have the time. I don't have the time to do all that stuff. So the only thing God is directing me to right now is radio. Blog Talk Radio. That's about it. And y'all need to stop trying to get these, and don't take it the wrong way out there. But those people who are trying to get a career going, do it. But you need to sit down and really count the cost. Because if you're busy trying to get a career started, you might miss the rapture. You say, what do you mean? If you not putting Jesus Christ. Now, you can put Jesus Christ first. Don't trick yourself into a false gospel. Because I know some individuals on Facebook right now trying to do certain things, but that's not going to waste it. You're going to wake up and you're going to say, wow, you know what? I've been chasing after the wrong thing. I've been chasing after the wrong gospel as well. God is not a prosperity gospel. God. He's a loving God. He's a God that sent his only begotten Son, that he who will believe in him will be saved, but he's also a God of justice. He is a God of true salvation, true commitment. The believer must have commitment in Christ. He must be able to put that job. Listen, you can still go out and do it. If you didn't get a job and stuff, but let's put priority first. Who is first in your life? And is it the Galatians chapter 1 gospel? Where the gospel is your gospel is not the real true gospel. Could you be in error, folks? I don't get that many people because I just come out and tell you the truth. I'm just going to tell you that your gospel may be tainted, especially if you don't read the Bible. My people perish for lack of knowledge, all for distorted knowledge. Like, you can read the Bible and still come out with a distorted gospel. A distorted gospel, folks, is anything that says opposite of Jesus being the Savior of the Son of God, as also his nature towards you. What is God's nature towards you? Is he Lord? Is he Savior? Or is he both Lord and Savior? Now, I've never heard of Lord being by itself. But I've heard of Savior being by itself. Some people say a salvation, a call towards God, you know, forgive me, God, for my sins and get up and live the same way. Some people, what they do is they, I kind of notice it on Facebook, they kind of use God as kind of a leprechaun. Okay, God, you're going to be my traveling buddy. Now, you can, the scary thing about some people out there is that they have a good moral compass. They're very moral, and they use God. But then again, there's certain errors about what they believe. You can't go out and teach somebody to be a better you. You can't do that and be a born again Christian. You have. I can tell off, like when I'm looking at people on Facebook, I can tell. I can tell what type of person. Just give me some time. I'm not on Facebook enough, but I've been around people in the Army and the military and Job Corps, different places of government that I worked, church. I've been around different people, you know, and I noticed that with conversation, you can tell if somebody says, just give you some time. Some people quicker than others. Some people slower than others. But when I'm looking at your Facebook stuff, I can tell when you're religious, when you believe in prosperity gospel. I can tell when you probably got the wrong gospel. I can, right now, I'm on my Facebook page. I can go to my home page, which is information. I can look at your posting over about a week period of time. Just by your simple words, I can tell if you. And you say, well, how do you know that? It's like a tree. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. Facebook is like a tree. If you look at the wording, how the words go scrolling down your page, it's like leaves. And I can tell if you are born again, just give me a little time. You say, well, you mean to tell me you want. Now, if you play at Farm Valley and all them games and stuff, I really can't tell because, hey, people play those games. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I can tell what your interests are because a true saved person burns within to share the Christ. A true saved person understands God's priority in their lives. They would not be on Twitter mentioning themselves every 5 seconds. It's not about me, folks. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. So look at Christ. I can go down this. I can go down the whole page, and I can tell. I know I shouldn't be talking like this right now because I am on a show, but I can tell if you're right with God just off this Twitter page. And trust me, the Bible says that many people will not make it into the kingdom of God. That's sad. It says that many in that day should not make it because our priorities were not for Christ. And this show, I admit, I probably repeated myself a lot today because I was trying to drive home a point. And that point is that the Lord loves us, and things about to change on this, in America. People have taken these things for granted for so long. Abortion, killing babies all year long, pornography, apathy, people going out and dressing like hoochie mamas and all this other stuff. I mean, gangsters and all this stuff. People loving the world, loving these bad movie stars and actors and trying to follow behind them. You can't do that, folks. Jesus, it's all Jesus or nothing. It's all Jesus or nothing. But God bless everybody up there, and y'all have a wonderful day. God bless.